don't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you choose.
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Round 20 was moving week for NRL Supercoaches as a couple of Supercoach studs sorted the men from the boys. Supercoach legends Nathan Cleary and Tommy Turbo partied like it was 2021 as many experienced coaches were left asking themselves the question, why was Fletcher Sharp so sexy just 3 weeks ago? Joining me tonight are a couple of informed super coaches, but a couple of Scotty Drinkwater owners licking their wounds about Turbo. After a brief spell, he's back. We're giving the people what they want. It's Coach of Tubes as Pods. Tubes, welcome back to the Pod.
Yeah, g'day, Matt. Geez, it got loud. Pod's been falling apart the last couple of weeks. And the calls were coming from everywhere. I just wanted a little holiday, a little break, but I'm happy to be back. Not a big week for me, just average. As you said, as a non-turbo owner, couldn't reach the dizzying heights of others, but I think I had a 12:30, so enough to sort of just keep me hovering around the 1700s in rank, still primed to kick.
Chasing that top 1K. Also joining me tonight is up and about South Sydney fan, coach of Flatty Burton. It's Jono. Jono, welcome back to the Pod.
Thanks, Matt. I'm always enjoy listening to your intros for me that don't mention ranks and performance in Supercoach. You always have to dance around it, which is good. But look, as a Drinkwater owner, I'm feeling a little bit thirsty after the weekend, after he got a 40-odd and Turbo came and cranked out 170. But I still had a 12.85, and I can officially say that I am the highest-ranked as of the end of that round that I have been all year, have not once been ranked higher than what I am now. So looking forward to a strong end of the year.
Excellent stick-to-itiveness, Jono. Tubes, it wasn't all bad news for the weekend. You made a couple of nice trades, brought in Cleary early along with myself. And you also brought in old sexy eyes Reece Walsh for a big ton.
Yeah, no, I'm like I said, I'm actually pretty happy with my weekend. My trades were good. 12:30 was looking like a very good score at about 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, to be fair, when Garrick and Turbo were on 30 at half time and they were captained by 40% of super coaches or something like that. And obviously Turbo just had a 120 or 150 or something in that second half. And it sort of, I think it ended up leaving me par for the round, which isn't the worst. But yeah, geez, it was a tough watch.
Yeah, at 4:30, you're right, Tubes. That was all looking good for you, but just a lazy 151 point second half from Turbo. He's just a freak, Jono. And like Supercoach aside, it was great to see him back moving like that. I don't think we've seen anything like that from him in 2024 so far.
Oh, it was awesome. He looked as free as he's ever been, and considering how well he'd scored this year when he didn't look good. And last year, his average was still pretty strong considering he looked like he was playing on one leg. It's not a surprise that now that he's looking free that the big scores are on their way.
We'll get into turbo strategy and fullback strategy more broadly because it's a really quickly evolved landscape there at fullback in our positional analysis later on. Don't forget you can find us on X, formerly known as, and maybe futurely known as Twitter. I saw Elon putting a poll out to rename X Twitter. That'll be good fun for everyone. We're at NRLSC Pod. And you can find us on there. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. An update on the Pod overall group major prize, which is of course 2.5% share in a mailbag bloodstock horse. Make sure you get in touch with those guys. They're doing some really good things as always. More winners for them this week. Leading that currently is still Quinton, coach of the Dead Hand Gang. Unfortunately for Quinton, he's dropped to 5th overall, still within striking distance of the lead. So we're cheering Quinton on huge. Doing also very well, though, is I think it's Justin, coach of is it Fins Up, Tubes? I don't have it in front of me, but Yeah, Finn's up. Mate. He's doing very well inside the top 50 now as well. So Quinton's finally got a little bit of competition, but I'm sure Quinton will be all right taking it out. And we thank the Mailbag Bloodstock guys for sponsoring that prize. Hopefully everyone can power on to big finishes. All right, let's get on to this week's Tubes' temper traps. Starting with Tubes, this one's an interesting one. Jaden Campbell, he had a 45 on a weekend in a game where they got smashed. He's 812K now. How do we want to start this? Because most of these temper traps are basically, do I want to rage trade my gun 5'8 or halfback to Nathan Cleary?
Yeah. And I think I would be trading Jaden Campbell to Nathan Cleary if that was an option for me. Like, basically a downgrade from Campbell to Cleary seems like a pretty nice layup to squeeze out the year. I mean, Campbell's had a good run, and I haven't owned him, and he's been particularly good through that buy period for owners, but he just relies so much on attacking stats, and the Titans, I just can't see how they sort of keep that going. They sort of had a nice period through the buys, but it's the serious end of the year now, and I just don't think that their forward pack can hold up to keep the back line moving like they have been.
I don't reckon, though. I think you can hold Campbell if you own him. He's looked really good with ball in hand. He looks like he's sort of really got a very critical role on that left side for the Finns. He's got a 5-round average of 95, 3-round of 107. He's going to have a relatively big break even this week of 109, but that's not completely unattainable. They've got the Dolphins at Suncorp, so a nice fixture. Their run then gets tough, though. So I don't think if you don't have to trade him, you can hold him as a bit of a pod this week. If he's your only way to get to Nathan Cleary, then I would suggest selling. Second on the list, Jono, is not a Nathan Cleary-related temper trap. It's James Tedesco, who had his worst score of the season, I believe, away from his HIA affected score. He scored 30 points, I believe. With all the goings on at fullback with Turbo, is Teddy a legitimate trade-out option for owners?
No. I don't think he belongs on the temper trap. So people actually doing this? So he has Manly, then the Finns, then Parramatta, then the Titans, then the Raiders, then the Rabbitohs.
You missed a buy.
Yeah, buy in round 23. But like, I just think that's a great run home. There's no way I'd be selling Teddy with that run home.
I just saw Tubes like eyes going, and he was thinking about selling Teddy even though he doesn't own him.
I think he's a sell. 951K.
I called it.
He's had a dream run. Like, he's just not that good. Look, I agree with John. It doesn't deserve to be on. He finally had an off week. I have no, like, I don't see him getting him beat for the rest of the season, basically. Maybe this week into the bye. But only injury, I think, stops Tedesco averaging 90 plus on the run home, realistically.
Yeah, I don't think you can sell him. But in saying that, if you want to take a punt, you can cash him in now for 951K, go to Turbo, who's going to be – Turbo's completely unattainable. I actually don't even think you can buy Turbo at all. But look, it's not completely without merit. It's not ludicrous to suggest that there will be better averaging fullbacks than Tedesco on the way home, but in the context of not having many trades and actually being able to do better things with those trades, I don't really see how it's a viable option.
There's no way Teddy's a sell.
Yeah. Next on the list is Jerome Hughes, who finally had a down week. Thank God for all his non-owners like myself. He scored 25 points, which is by far his worst score of the last few months. He's got a Cameron Munster issue as well. Storm got a nice-ish draw to finish the year. But, Jono, do you think that Jerome Hughes I don't know if it's a rage trade is the right word, but now is the time to be offloading Jerome Hughes for a Nathan Cleary?
If he's your only way to get to Cleary, then yes, I would do that. I would also consider downgrading Jerome. He's a nice price, 770K. If I had the trades left, he's someone I consider downgrading and freeing up a little bit of cash there, maybe to a Matt Burton who's 200K cheaper. But in saying that, when the trades are very, very tight, he's probably worth a hold unless it's for the Cleary thing. So it's, again, coming down to that personal situation. I know we've got a person on the pod who is in that personal situation, but I think with trades being tight, I'd probably slightly lean towards holding him.
771K, Tubes, what do you think?
I think I'd definitely look at selling him to Cleary if he was an option. I own him. I already own Cleary. Like, I'm putting up, is there a case, like, could you nuff out at halfback and just run with Cleary and then have Dylan Brown at 5'8 to potentially cover if you can get a halfback 5'8 nuff? I worry about Hughes and that run home, and like in terms of with Munster. I think you said before he's got a Munster problem. I think he's got a Harry Grant problem too, because this is when Harry starts really becoming a bit more dominant, which I think we saw on the weekend, which takes away from Hughes and his output as well, like we've seen in previous seasons. And I just think it's an option to nuff out, because I do believe you could find a better player for that 500K to potentially run in your 17 or upgrades elsewhere for your 17.
Tubes,
I'll let you answer that, Jono.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can, Tubes. Not with... You got Jai Gray at 5'8". Like, I think if you hadn't have done that, then I'd probably be more supportive of that as an option. But not when you're running Jai Gray at 5'8", because he scraped through for, 50-odd on the weekend. And that was with a much-needed line break and try. He has no base. I don't think you can be confident playing him on a week-to-week basis. So
But I got Dylan Brown.
Yeah, but you just said that if Cleary was out or hurt, you'd have to move Brown up to halfback and you'd have to play Jai Gray.
Yeah, in that situation, I think potentially for me it might not work out because I've already nuffed effectively to Jai Gray. I think it's an option though. I might look at going Hughes to Munster. Could potentially be my way out of getting rid of Hughes, and I think Munster could be a pod run as well. But I guess I'm putting up for the temper traps that I think Hughes. Like, I see 771K. I think he's value to be sold at the moment if you've got a reason to sell him.
Tubes, I'll give another answer to your question. I think that you should be running a cheapy, a Jai Gray or enough at either second halfback or second 5'8". I think you should be running three big halves on the way home. So my plan was initially to run Cleary, Walker and Brown. That way I could play Walker or Brown at 5'8". On matchup, Cody Walker I'm talking about. And then those two are interchangeable. And if Cleary gets injured, the other one can just play halfback. I've got Jai Gray, so same situation. I don't think you can run Jai Gray and another cheapy or nuff in the halves. So I think that's a very viable option, especially if you're looking to free up cash to bring in to sort out your final team, you know, bringing in the likes of Payne Haas, Angus Crichton, Brian Toto, all these big guns that are big origin guns that are ready for sale to be bought in right now. Jono.
Matt, just interested because we had enough conversation about how many nuffs is the right amount on last week's pod, and you said you're only interested in running 2 to 3 nuffs in your squad come end of year. So if you're running one in the halves, does that mean – I'm assuming you're running one in front row forward. So does that mean you're going to be running two hookers on the way home, or are you going to be having a full load of second row forwards, or how are you structuring that?
Yeah, well, I thought about Tom Starling last week as my second hooker because I'm running Watson and Grant, but I'm just going to run Watson and Grant at hooker now. And so okay. I'm running a front row, second row nuff, a center wing, second row nuff, and then Jai Gray. Yep. So whatever happens to him.
Nice. Makes sense.
All right. Let's finish out the Nathan Cleary temper traps this week, proudly sponsored by Panthers. Sammy Walker, Tubes, is he ready? He's probably a pretty high seed to be traded to Cleary, given he's got that bye in a couple of weeks.
I think anyone is a trade to Cleary, like, it's because I think Cleary's the number one halfback that you just want. And it could just be because I don't own him, but I'm less on the sell side of Sam Walker. He's back down to 654K. I think we spoke about it earlier with Teddy, but their run coming up after the bye, I mean, they got Manly Dolphins, then they have a bye, but then after that bye, it's literally Para, Gold Coast, Canberra, Souths. He's the goal kicking. They're in for about, I don't know, 350 points across those six games or something like that, and probably less than that, but he's goal kicking. I wouldn't mind having him as my second halfback for the run home. So if there was another way to get Cleary, I'd be looking at that.
And Jono, the last one here is Dylan Brown, who we spoke about ad nauseum last week. His stocks just seem to be going down week by week. The latest blow was Mitch Moses getting injured in Origin.
Yeah, look, 600K. There's not a lot of value there to actually trade him. We'll rinse and repeat. If he's your way to get to Nathan Cleary, you do it. But otherwise, I think at 600K, break even of 88. That's pretty achievable that he can beat that. I think even without Mitch Moses, it feels a little bit luxury to trade Dylan Brown when he's not giving you that much value.
If you can find a strategic purpose for getting rid of Brown, i.e. getting Nathan Cleary or free up cash, I really like selling Dylan Brown. He's as I mentioned, like nothing is going right for Parramatta. With Moses out now, they're going to be big, big underdogs for every game on the run home, and they have a very, very hard run home, starting with Melbourne this week at home, then Warriors away, Panthers at home, Roosters away, Broncos away, before finishing the season with the Dragons and the Tigers. But by then, Brown's obviously got that very safe floor of about 50 points. I just think you're going to really struggle to see that upside in attack, and we have seen signs that floor has dropped a little bit, in my opinion.
He's played most of the year without Moses. He's averaging 65. I mean, you'd say he's probably in to average 65 for the run home. I know that, like, as all the points you just made about their run, etc. I just don't know the 5-8 that you're going to bring in, that you're going to play in your 17 each week, that's going to average that much more than 65. And I don't think there's enough cash to be made at 599K.
Have I got a pod for you, Tubes, coming up in our 5-8 discussion. But I will say, Tubes, to that point of him averaging well without Moses previously, the biggest difference now is that the Parramatta are not – they've got a ton of injuries stacking up. I just saw that boom rookie Charlie Geimer's out for the season as well now. With injury, oh, so they're
all right. They're Sal, real, sorry, I didn't realize Darnell was out.
They're real. I'm making the point. They are going to be massive prices to win these games. Like they're not in for points. So, yeah.
Well, the line just changed 3 points with Guy moving out.
Exactly.
Right. I get you. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, you're right. Guy moving out is massive. All right, let's move on to our positional analysis.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
Starting always, as always, at hooker, which has warmed up a bit over the past month, I must say. Jono, starting with Appy Korosau, he looks like he's coming back, making a return this week. Expected to be on the team sheet on Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. Owners who have held, I think this is a pretty straightforward one. If you held him, then you're keeping him. And if you sold him, then you're not getting him back.
Yeah.
It's a very simple one.
I don't even think you need to throw to anyone for that, Matt. You've summed it up beautifully. Boom.
Tubes, Connor Watson had a few issues with the sin bin on the weekend, 38. I'm an owner. He was quite a popular buy last week, and owners have been left very flat after that 38. That was obviously against the Storm. That's their hardest game of the year, for the rest of the year, I should say. I think that Connor's still a perfectly good buy, and the only like little afterglow for me of him going so poor is I don't think anyone will be buying him this week.
No, I don't think anyone will, but I still think that he's one of the top two hookers for the run home. So, if you did avoid him last week, now you can probably just wait for him to get that score out of his three-game average and get him potentially for round 24 when they play the Parramatta Eels and have him as your run home hooker. He'll be even lower in price by that time.
Jono?
I bought him last week. Absolutely no buyer's remorse. Like, that game couldn't have gone any worse for Connor. Had a sin bin, which obviously cost him 10 minutes of the field, plus minus points for the sin bin. He also covered both centres who went off for HIAs at different points of the game. So he wasn't even in the middle of the field where you want him scoring. He spent nearly half an hour out in the centres during the game too. So couldn't have gone any worse. Still got a 38. No buyer's remorse for me from last week. And I agree with you guys. Still a buy.
The only thing I'll say is, because I agree with you, he's still a buy. But that will happen. He is the...
He's a Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah, that will happen every game that there's an injury.
It's actually happened in the weeks before as well. When he did the same when Joey Manu got injured. The Roosters have an injury at centre every week. They're really down to the bare bones at centre.
They're calling Cookie Audi Watson at South's training at the moment.
Well, maybe they bought Chad Townsend. They bought Chad Townsend for next year. Maybe they're planning to throw him in the centres. They've seen the success that Cookie's had. Not sure Chad's quite got the pace of Cookie. Just on Chad, far out, he annoys the shit out of me. Like, just watching him throw himself around, play acting last night. Like, what a terrible player.
Oh, come on. He's a legend of the game.
It was a tough watch, that Cowboys game as well. Like, He puts in bloody kicks on the fourth tackle way too often for someone that's meant to be just there as like a steady hand halfback. Instead, all he has to do is actually just pass the ball out to the back to drink water with a bit of shape.
I'm a big Chad guy. I think you guys are going to be eating your words when he's a premiership winning 5-8 for the Roosters next year.
Oh my God. If that happens, I'm out. I'm out of rugby league if that happens. Harry Grant, Jono, speaking of fantastic football players, he really looked up for it on the weekend. And in a game, in a very low-scoring game, he scored well, 74, had a line break and try assist. Bit unlucky not to have another try as well, controversial call denying him that, I think correctly, but still. Tubes mentioned before, this is the time of year that he comes into his own. He's only 622K now. I think he's by far the pick of the hooker options for purchase.
Yeah, I avoided him last week because of the sternum thing and people saying how that was going to impact him and potentially even not play. So I went Connor instead. But watching the game, Harry looked awesome. I haven't seen him getting out of dummy half like that this year. Like, it looked the most free and the most running he was doing. It's worth noting that there is a bit of a rumour around that he's going to be rested this week with Tyron Wishart moving to hooker with Cam Munster coming back. And that is, just for the record, a rumour I'm making up now and trying to speak into existence as a Tyron Wishart owner. But no, he looked great, and I think he's a fantastic buy at 620K.
Look, Jono, this is not a fake news podcast, so keep that tripe to yourself. Tyron Wishart's a pretty nice sell to Cleary. Jono, have you considered that one?
I got Cleary last week.
Oh, okay. You're sweet then. Yeah, no, I think Grant's just so cheap now. I think you'll definitely get value for your money there. It just depends on your personal situation at hooker. Tubes, last one on the run sheet here is Damien Cook, freewheeling center, goal kicking center from the Rabbitohs, who's available at hooker, astonishingly. Don't know how that happened. He's just defying everything at the moment to keep scoring well, and he's basically been the top scoring hooker for the past 2 months.
He just keeps getting it done. 707K, just no matter where he is on the field, he keeps getting it done. You can't buy him. I still wouldn't sell him this week. I'd wait, you know, until the bunnies potentially lose a game and give up for the year. I'd hold him. But I think the two we just mentioned are the two premium run home hookers. But well done to anyone that had Cookie, and well done, Cookie, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Cookie, just reminded me as well, Tubes. I cannot believe we did mention for Mailbag Bloodstock, Jack Dickens, owner and proprietor of Mailbag Bloodstock, punched out a 15.57 on the weekend for the 12th highest score of the week, which included Damien Cook's 107 points.
Huge.
Now, like, Dicko is a smart guy, but I think he'd be the first to say he's a bit of a super coach novice, but that's a ridiculous score, Tubes.
Yeah, like, it was just unbelievable. I think he had Cookie, He had he's the big AFD. big thick boys. If anyone's looking for him in one of our leagues, AFB, Captain Turbo, just one of those like absolute gun weekends. Brought in Cleary, held Galvin somehow. Even has the we'll go through the pod in Hammer as well. Like the man that let him down was well, the one we talked him into, Jono, which was Drinky. Like if he went Reece Walsh over Drinky, he probably wins the week.
I'm sure he might have had Walsh as well. Anyway,
yeah, at some point in time.
At some point. He was, yeah, anyway. Well done, Dicko. All right, let's move down to front row forward now. And I want to start here, Jono, with Terrell May and the question, is the party over?
Yeah, look, in hindsight, I'm pretty happy that I sold Terrell May in round six when I sold him and missed out on those fire-round points. I saved myself a trade for the end of the year. No, look, I think he's 670K. Like, it's a great price for Terrell May. There's a chance he still pulls some big minutes while Jared Rea-Hargraves is out, but I think you trade now and downgrade him to someone like an AFB if you don't have him or go across to Payne Haas. I think it's the right time now to trade him after he's done a great job for owners this year.
Yeah, I'm an owner, so and I am planning to sell him to Haas this week. I suppose the question in the back of my mind tubes is that an upgrade? Am I going to get value for one of my nine remaining trades by doing May to Haas, given they both play the same number of games? Or should I be just running with Haas for the run home and using that trade, putting that trade to better use elsewhere?
I think Haas is an upgrade, but I think given you don't own AFB, I wonder if that's a better downgrade for 80K and hoping AFB matches Haas on the run home as well and frees up 100K. As in if you own neither, like I think AFB could be a better run home guy, probably a bit more volatile than Haas. Haas is pretty safe. But either way, I definitely think you should trade May. It's just I think it's one of those two. And I really do think it could be a coin flip. I'd rather own Haas, but it depends what you can do with that extra nearly 100K or in AFB.
I have had a good think about that. I think Haas will average well on the run home. I think he's probably into average 1.3 PPM points per minute on a base of around 65 to 70 minutes. So that should see him average well over his 70 point price tag that I'm signing up for, probably somewhere in the high 70s to 80 range. The problem I've got with AFB, even though you're right, the price isn't right and he's highly owned, which I kind of think I can get him beat with Haas maybe, but he's got a round 27 buy, which is when I'm expecting Panthers, Roosters, Storm, Restings. It might be hard to get 17 out on the field, and I don't want to be worried about AFB won't be one of those 17. I'd much rather just take the Payne Haas buy in round 24 or 25 or whenever it is and slot Samuel Afainu in for that week. What do you think, Jono?
I'm with you, Matt. I think I am an AFB owner, and I watched that game against the Raiders. He had one run in the first 15 minutes, looked completely disinterested. It was almost like muscle memory then kicked in. He remembered he was playing footy and started getting churning through the work again. Scored a try at the end, which was fantastic for owners. But I also think that the Warriors looked like they could be on the brink of implosion. Like that, they could just give up. And AFB does have a good, I've had enough, I'm giving up attitude in him at times. Whereas Payne for the Broncos, I think get aboard the Payne train. Kevy could be playing him 70-plus minutes every week for the run home because they want to make the top eight and they are going to need Payne playing big minutes. So choo-choo, get on board the Payne train if I were you, Matt.
Kevy's house of Payne. Tubes.
Very cold Canberra though, Jono. It takes the best of us a little bit to warm up there. Like just as a bit of an excuse for AFB. It was probably -5 degrees on Friday night when he ran out of the sheds.
It was bad. It was cold.
Tubes, Jono just mentioned that the Warriors are on the brink of implosion. If they do implode, it won't be because of their inspirational leader, Mitch Barnett, who at 30 years of old has decided, right, I'm going to have a real red hot crack at rugby league. I've like there's turnarounds and there's turnarounds, and Mitch Barnett was never a poor player, don't get me wrong, but he's turned into bloody Superman.
The only reason I put him on the run sheet, and normally like I'd say too expensive, 840K, but he has turned into Superman, but it's more just his minutes have been unbelievable. Like he's gone last four games, 80, 71, 81, and 73. And all of them are in the middle, not on an edge. He's been playing front row or middle forward, and he's been averaging, what, 70, 74 minutes. And now, after the weekend's debacle, there's got to be a chance that he picks up the goal kicking as well. So it's just like he could be $1 million in 2 weeks' time.
He's like Gary Bertier in Remember the Titans. Hopefully he has a better ending than Gary, but yeah, just absolutely unstoppable. Like could he potentially be a buy at 840K?
Look, I just don't think given Payne Haas is 140K cheaper, like that's the obvious buy. But geez, I'd love to go pod hunting and find Mitch Barnett. If he comes out kicking this weekend, I'd think about it. But his break even's still only 37 this week. So he's honestly could go to 900K this week.
Why wasn't he kicking last week? Chanel looked like he couldn't run in to kick the ball. And then they were like, just take the one to tie the game anyway, Chanel.
Look, Matt, I know you've never played 80 minutes in the middle, but your legs do get a little bit tired. Like it does take a little bit out of you. I can only say that from experience.
That will do me. The only reason I've never played 80 in the middle is because the games I played in never went for 80 minutes. I've spent plenty of time in the middle, Tubes. Jono, what have you got? I don't know where this come from.
No, Mitchie Barnett, his legs didn't look that tired when he jumped out of dummy half, waved off his halfback and put him in a chip over the top to the corner with about 15 minutes to go. So I think he might have been all right for the goal kicking.
I haven't seen that since a young Josh Pickard went down the blind side in the under 15s for Joey's. But shout out to Picky. Hope you're listening. front row's getting a bit wild here. What about Joey Tappany, Jono? I'm an owner. Jesus Christ. I saw everyone lauding him for his performance on the weekend. I thought that was probably the worst game he's had in 2 months. I thought he's been playing really well. His super coach scoring just hasn't really been there, though, and he's probably not a buy for any prospective buyers out there.
Yeah, just the rinse and repeat again. If you own him, you're happy, you hold him. It's fine. He's doing well enough, playing 55 minutes the last couple of weeks, but I agree with you. You're not going to look to buy him. I certainly wouldn't sell him either.
Let's move on now down to – that was wild. That's a front row segment of the year.
Send him off! Send the dressing gates off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical!
Let's move on down to second row forward now, where there's also plenty going on. And let's start with the potentially Angus Crichton put out some news today that he was out for an MRI scan. No one really knows what it's for. There's some chat that it's about the neck injury that he suffered in State of Origin, for which he's obviously played a match since then. Other sources saying that he might have a little knee issue. Let's put that to the side for a minute, Tubes. This looks like the perfect week to be bringing in Angus Crichton at 750K.
Is it? They got the bye in a couple of weeks. Like... He scored 74 on the weekend, a break even of 75. You'd think he could have a rest in the next couple of weeks because he played 80 on the weekend against the Storm. Like, I think any week's a good week to get Angus Crichton. Yeah. But I think for me, like, if you don't own him and you could hold out now until after that buy run, that'd be pretty nice if you've got the trades to hold out. He's not a rush to buy for me anyway.
I think that he is, just given he's got Manly this week, which, look, Manly are going all right, but still a good matchup for him. He'll be running.
Burbo?
He'll be running over the. Nah, he's different. Burbo's been on the left. Yeah.
Dan's anyway, boy, Willimore.
And then they've got the Finns. So he gets a little crack at. It was Felice Kaufusi playing right edge on the weekend. Like, that's not going to be much fun for Felice and Jake Averillo. I wouldn't have thought, and Cody Nikorima. So I like that matchup. I just think I could see your point, Tubes, but with Ola Kawatu out as well, Like, people are a little bit skinny at 2RF. I know I am. So I'm going to be looking to bring Crichton in this week.
Yeah. If you're an Ola Kawatu owner that doesn't own Crichton, then you're probably looking at bringing in Crichton. I just, you also might have done it last week. It was probably, but yeah, I think he's an absolute, I think, must have for the run home.
Post buy.
The sooner the better. Yeah.
Yeah. Agree. Ola Kawatu comes back the week that Roosters have the bye as well. So that works out quite well if that's your option like me. Excuse me. Let's move across to Dot Ball of the Year contender, Kai Pierce-Paul. He's dropped now to 466K. My God, he's boring. Jono, is he – obviously you can sell him. Like, no one's disputing that. But is he a guy that you can hold as sort of your backup 2RF, just given he's not worth a lot now, that you could plug in if you need to with a couple of injuries on the run home or a bye or something like that? Could you consider holding KPP as someone just to do nothing and sit on the bench?
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, he's never doesn't seem to have bad scores in him. And I think Dylan Lucas, with Bradman Best doing the hammy again, I think Dylan Lucas is a big chance of starting in the centres now for the Knights, which means he probably has pretty good job security and should look at getting 80 minutes moving forward. I think that the 270K you can nuff him out for is still pretty valuable. I think for me, I'd rather have that money to upgrade more important positions than keep a second row forward who I can plug and play if I need to, personally. But if you're good for cash and you just want to have some warm bodies out there ready to go as a backup, I don't think it's the worst call. He's not going to be an AE problem.
No. What do you get? I think he dropped a 30 odd last week or something, didn't he? 43 on the weekend. Not an AE. No, you're right. That's not an AE problem at all.
No, he got upgraded to 55 last week. 34 is his lowest. Matt, he's only gone in the 30s once all season. So
did he get 55 on the weekend?
Last week.
No, 43.
Last week. 43 on the weekend, 55 the week before.
Sorry. Gotcha. Tubes, Brits or Nicara? 730K now. Sharks have got a very cushy draw still. I just think that's probably a bit too rich to be buying him at 2RF with the sort of prevailing options, not only in 2RF, but within the rest of your squad that you're looking to upgrade to keepers.
I think so. Just depends how many 2RFs you want to have. And that's what we were saying before with KPP. Like, I'm fine to have enough at second row, which I've got at the moment. And then KPP might be all right to be my fifth second row forward, just as like a depth, not going to trade him out. Hopefully don't have to play him. And then if I look at it and go, well, Nicara is my way to go to Crichton, then like I'd much rather Crichton for 50K more than Nicara for the run home. So I think he's overvalued. He's going to rely on attacking stats to play in your 17. And with Nico out and Trindle dominant, and whilst he does swap sides, he's more of a left side dominant player. I think this is the week to trade him. And I'm looking at trading him actually, but not to Crichton.
Oh wait, you're looking to trade in Nicara as a downgrade option to downgrade
Isaiah Yeo.
I was wondering. I was wondering what Nicara was doing on the run sheet. I just tried to ham it up a bit, and I thought you did a good job. And then all of a sudden, now you want to sell him.
Yeah, so I'm looking at downgrading him to
captain, part-time captain.
Yo's averaging 70.9 this year. Panthers run, unbelievable coming up. It's 115K downgrade from Nicara to Yo. And then obviously he's just got an unbelievable game. But with that attacking upside as well, they play St. George, Knights, Para, then Storm, Canberra, Souths, Gold Coast. I don't think there's anything wrong with having more Panthers players until probably round 27 when they get rested.
Jono, I want to talk about Yo, but I'll let you just have a quick word.
No, all I was going to say about Yo was that does the draw matter, Tubes?
Probably not, but he's still averaging 71. I still think that there's upside in attacking stats for him. With Nathan Cleary back, bit of a out the back, and Cleary goes over for a try. I don't know. surely it matters a little bit.
It does. It matters a little bit. Jono's right to question it because traditionally it wouldn't matter for Yo. He's a bit of a meat and potatoes guy, but he does have some attack in him, Tubes, and I think the good draw definitely helps him. I just wanted to question, Tubes, where you got that pod call of Isaiah Yo from. What brought it to your attention?
Oh, where I get all my good calls from, Matt, is you mentioning them in the WhatsApp group. That's the only place it comes from. And I think you usually steal it from someone else's Discord or something like that. Anyway, so we're all good.
This is not true. I found Yo all by myself. I think.
He found the averaging 71 Supercoach.
Yeah, he found it.
Look, he was not on anyone's radar. No one talks about Isaiah Yo, and no one can deny that. No one has spoken about Isaiah Yo all season.
Then bring him in, Matt. If he's your boy, bring him in.
Look, if all right, fine. I'll try and fit him in. I'm not saying I definitely will, but look, Isaiah Yo, you're right. Averaging 71 so far this year. He did have three out of the past four games. His minutes were down. Probably, you know, 17 and 18. So they're sort of Origin impacted. So he has been getting less minutes during the Origin period. I think it's 615K. You can't go wrong. Like he's a fantastic buy for anyone looking for a 2RF. And maybe Tubes, just maybe he's a better buy than Angus Crichton right at the moment. There is a little watch out. He definitely doesn't have the ceiling, right? So you're signing up for an average. You kind of can bake in that he's going to average between 65 and 80 for the run home, which is obviously fantastic, especially for 615K. The only thing you've got to watch out for Yo is he has a good chance of another rest in those last few rounds. Panthers are pretty methodical with how they rest. They probably won't rest everyone at once, but they're looking pretty strong for a top two spot locked in now, and that'll be their goal. So I think if they have got that locked up, I said around 25, around 26, you probably can expect Isaiah Yo to get a little rest as his Clearys want.
I think definitely you can expect a rest from him. I think that there's a good chance that you could expect a rest from Angus Crichton, though, as well. And I think you said just before that maybe he's a better buy than Crichton. I don't own Crichton, and so I'm buying him over Crichton. I think he is a better buy. But for me, the reason he's a better buy is it's the 130K cash as a downgrade allows me to upgrade Kale Iro to Big Bad Brian Toto. So that was enough for me. Like, otherwise I have to nuff someone to get Toto. So being able to go Nikora down to Yo as someone in my 17 just makes a lot more sense to me for the run home, even with the risk of him missing a game. They don't have the bye, the Panthers, so you just got to have to cop one of those rests as a bye almost.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. He's had a rest on the weekend, so yeah, he'll string a few games together now. That's a good shout as well, Tubes. Like everything here is highly team dependent on what you want to do this week with upgrades and whatnot. I think maybe you can go without Crichton for a couple of weeks. Like it's not the end of the world. Get through that bye and then look to bring him in for those last sort of four games where they've got those amazing 4 to 5 games where they've got those amazing matchups. I don't mind it. And I like Yo. I'm going to go have another big look, considering he was my boy in the first place. Tubes, I'll stick with you because you're the only man who can talk about this man. And it's just Podson, Hudson Young. He had a huge double try ton on the weekend, 119 points, I think. It's just more of a shout out, isn't it, to your boy?
Yeah, just like he's still an option. He's Podson. Like he's 120 on the weekend. Fogarty back. They play the Bunnies this weekend. They have Manly, North Queensland, and Dragons during that run home. Like I don't think there's a more dominant, as in ball hog, second row forward in the game than Podson. So like he's a pod option.
Yeah, he's just Podson.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, not for me, but well done to Podson and his few owners, 645K this week. All right, let's move down to halfback now, where it's obviously heated up. We've spoken a lot during our temper traps segment about halfback. But, Jono, can you just give me a sort of final word on Nathan Cleary? And would you describe him as a must-buy for non-owners this week? Is there any argument to not bring him in? And do you feel ahead of the curve already owning?
I'm going to use a little bit of a pod favourite. He's a heaven and earth man, Nathan Cleary. You move heaven and earth to get him into your team this week.
Yeah.
Okay, enough said. So everyone's buying Cleary who doesn't own this week, and that's reflected in the trade in stats. He's the out of all the trades made this week, he's involved in the top nine of them. So
38% traded in. That's probably the amount of people still playing the game at this point in the year, like 38%.
Yeah, given how much we spoke about the other halfbacks who you could move to him, I think we just move straight down to 5'8".
Langmuir, veers to the right, inside. Oh, Bateman! Wow. Yes, Canberra.
Matty Burton, your namesake, Flatty Burton, Jono, he put up a 75 on the weekend. Against the Cowboys, looked good. His price is obviously really discounted at the moment. I really like Matt Burton, and I would be, you know, if it wasn't a sort of Cleary buy-in week, I think he's a pretty fantastic option for your run home at 5'8" or halfback.
Yeah, 570K, and he's just the one thing about Matty Burton this year is he's just been so consistent. Like he had a 16. In round 16 against the Roosters, which he played a bit in the centres in that game as well.
Played the whole game in the centres in the wet.
Whole game. There you go. I thought it was
and they got injury, towed up.
But other than that, like he's so consistent. Looking over his scores, like he's gone of recent times, round 20, 75, before that 71, 63, and 81, 80, 80, 73, 80. Like it's very, very impressive. And he's only down to that price because of that 39 and 16 in back-to-back weeks, which really dropped him down. It's just tough, though, because I don't know who you get him for. I think maybe for people who are out there still holding Tyron Wishart, you could look at downgrading and making a bit of money on that trade. Maybe you go Dylan Brown. If you don't back him in with Parramatta for the rest of the year, you could do a little bit of a pod sideways move and get Burton. I don't believe the Dogs have any buyers left. So, yeah, he's very, very interesting, Burton. I'd love to get him, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make it work.
Tubes, it's one of those ones as well. Like he's a bit luxury, given most teams would already have a 5'8 and halfback setup, which is serviceable. And, you know, if you're sort of down to five or six trades, that feels a bit luxury. But I think if you have the trades to spend, I would seriously consider that Dylan Brown and Matt Burton trade.
Yeah, I think it's too luxury no matter how many trades you have, to be honest. Like, even if I had 12 trades, I don't think I'd be considering going Brown to Burton as a trade for 30K. Don't think he's going to average that much more than Dylan Brown is for the run home.
Fair enough. Jono, pod favourite, Braden Trindle. Now, big bad Braden had a very, very big game against the Tigers a couple of weeks ago before the Sharks bye. He's got excellent job security now. He's got the goal kicking. He's about 515K, I believe. Let me just confirm that. He's got a minus 40 break even as well to go with that. Minus 35, 513K. Look, he's not one of mine and I won't be considering him. I think that minus break even is a bit ridiculous given you're probably never going to trade him out, so it doesn't matter. So basically the reason why you're bringing him in is because you think that 500K is a big chunk of value. It's a no from me.
Yeah, look, I think any time you can bring in a reserve grade player at 513K, you do it. So it's a big yes from me. No, look, I think he's a horrible bring in. And it's actually C-Mac Chris was the one who wrote in, listener question, any love for Tricky. And Chris is killing it this year. I hope he's not starting to lose his marbles talking about blokes like Braden Trindle because I think he'd be a bad bloke to bring in for the run home.
Does kick goals. I mean, I don't like him either, but like you just keep looking at this Sharks draw. Like if Souths lose this week and then lose the plot, like they play Souths next week, then followed by the Titans, the Knights who could be gone by then and the Dragons, who's, I mean, they've been a bit hot and cold all year, but it's lots of points. I just don't think, I look at him a lot more strongly if he was 400K rather than 500K, but I just think he's a bit too expensive.
Yeah, I think just a little bit expensive. I think that he's value, but I don't think he's enough value to be bringing in at this time of the season. This is not a bad segue to my little pod at 5'8". Now, everyone, a few people had a bit of a look at him last week. He goes by the name of Dane Laurie, who is a dual fullback, 5'8", plays for the Penrith Panthers. Now, Dane was rumoured to have a little injury last week and was in a bit of doubt. That all was allayed. He played fullback and scored 111 of the finest Supercoach points that you could ask for. Now, the thing about Dane Laurie is he's got a good level of job security now for the next month, given that it's been confirmed on Sunday after the match that Dylan Edwards has a ruptured posterior cruciate ligament, meaning that he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. So I think at the bare minimum, you're looking at a 3-game run for Dane Laurie at fullback for the Panthers. Now, in that 3-game run, they play, let me just get that up, the Dragons are away this week. Then they have the Knights at home and then the Eels away. Three of probably the five easiest fixtures you can get. They've obviously got Cleary back on deck and all their Origin big guns. Now, Dane is probably in for a good few amount of attacking stats there. I really, really like Dane Laurie, 511K. He fits into my budget this week for a downgrade from Dylan Brown and frees me up to get Payne Haas and Angus Crichton. No one's going to be able to bring him in, really, if they've got to get Cleary. He's a pretty luxury option. I just think he could be the top performing 5'8 for the next month, and I really want a piece of that. Jono, I know you're in feverish agreement with me there.
Yeah, mate, you've completely sold me. I absolutely love it, and I'm going to be doing it this week. So I admit that I'm in a pretty unique circumstance that allows me to. I still have Tyron Wishart, so I could bring in Laurie for Wishy this week. And then my plan would be to eventually turn Laurie into Cam Munster. So Cam Munster is 700K with a break-even of 143. He has a 17 that will stay in his rolling average for the next couple of weeks, even if he does return this week. So there is the chance that if people wanted to go that kind of pot option, you could bring in Dane Laurie, and in 3 weeks' time, you could be sideways or even a downgrade to Cam Munster if all pans out well. So I absolutely love it, Matt. It's a trade that I will be making this week. But again, I think Tubes is going to talk about a different set of circumstances. But for me, that works beautifully.
Tubes, over to you.
I just think it's ludicrous. Like, I was talking about, like, for a trade, 599K is Dylan Brown, and Laurie is what, five? Like, you're making 50K, and you're bringing in an AE nightmare.
It's 511K. Yeah. You're making 90K.
90K for someone that, what do you, is it because you think he's going to average like 100 over the next 3 weeks? Is that the main reason?
Basically, yeah.
So you just chips in, he's going to average 100. Because if he doesn't, like, you're bringing in someone to average a little bit more maybe than Dylan Brown, maybe the same, and then you're stuck with an AE, like, that you have to trade him out, basically, like, after that to someone else.
He might not be an AE.
Won't he?
Why would he be?
Because he'll go to the bench for the Panthers once Dylan Edwards is back. Or do you think he's going to play? Would you hold him and play if he plays center or something like that?
I should preface it. I am going to keep a trade up my sleeve to trade him. And he'll obviously go up now. He had a 5 in his rolling average because he got injured. He did his hammy, I think, playing on the wing against the Broncos before the bye, which can't have been too bad because he played on the weekend. But yeah, so he only played 11 minutes in that game for a 5. I'm going to keep a trade because I'm going to have him and Jai Grade 5'8", and then I can move either Cody Walker back down there or get whoever I want basically at half or 5'8". He should go up to about 600K if he averages 75, which I think he should do better than that. I think it's a good opportunity to get a really strong pod fullback for the Panthers with the gun run in a position that's lacking a bit of oomph at the moment. I think it's just a really good opportunity to pot up there. Jono?
Yeah.
Matt, in Tubes' defense, he's coming from a position of having like 4 trades left and 10 players he needs to trade out, whereas you and me, we're sitting here, we're flush. We've got the flexibility to bring this guy in. And
nine trades, so. Jono, I've got.
Same here, mate.
Well done. Good planning.
You've got two more than me. You're flying. So you can use that two to trade Zari in and trade him back out. Yeah.
Perfect. And watch Dylan Brown average 100.
Yeah. It's very luxury. I think in terms of you saying there's not many that can do it, there's not many that will do it, that's for sure. So it will be a pod option, and you definitely are in the position to be able to do that.
Look, it also basically gives me exact money. I'll have 2K in the bank to get Crichton and Haas this week. So two big upgrades, final team upgrades that I need to make that trade to get that anyway. So this is basically my final team now. So I'm set and ready to go. Fired up for a bit of Dane Laurie action.
Yeah, just not basically your final team, except for Jai Gray and Dane Laurie as your final. Yeah, but other than that, basically your final team.
Which I've prefaced that I've got a trade for.
Yeah, no.
With the top averaging 5'8" for the next month. All right, that's one of my biggest pod rants ever.
Yeah,
let's hope it pays off.
Should we shout out the person that brought it up to you in the Discord, or are we just going to leave that?
Gee, that's harsh, Tubes. And that definitely did not happen. I found it all by myself this morning.
I know you brought him up when you brought up Yo. It was well done. I think it's a good pod find. I actually am a bit jealous of it. That's why I'm sounding a bit bitter. I'm just jealous I didn't find it myself.
Yeah.
I'm just going to growl at that one. All right. Who else we got to talk about here? We've spoken about deal bags. We don't need to go over him again. Let's go Cam Munster, Jono. You mentioned that you're very keen to potentially run home with Munster. He's currently still relatively expensive. He's obviously been out for about since Magic Round with that groin injury, 698K B of 152. What's your sort of timeline on Cam Munster?
I think I just outlined this. Did you not listen to my Dane Laurie chat before?
I did, but I didn't hear exactly. What post Dane Laurie you want to go to Munster?
Yeah, I think he's right for the picking in 2-3 weeks. So a big break even. 690K. I think he's going to be absolute value, and I think that he is one of the two best 5'8s in Supercoach, and I think that people would be able to bring him in at very pod ownership levels for the run home. I know that traditionally there's been times where we can worry about Munster being the kind of guy who might get a rest if things are going well, and that's still a big chance in round 27. But there's also the chance that he's missed so much footy this year that they're just comfortable with him getting a few games underneath him and playing out the rest of the year. So I just like him for the fact that in a few weeks he's going to be pretty cheap and pretty pod, but there's no way you'd bring him in this week.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's move down to centre wing now, and there's some big boy options at centre wing this week, and no bigger boy than our man, Big Bad Brian Tubes, 866K. Surely no one can afford him, but it sounds like that you are very, very keen.
Look, I am keen, and partially because no one can afford him, so he's owned by 10% of teams, and he is a big luxury to bring in. I think most people have got a gun centre wing set up. And upgrading from one of those gun center wings to Brian To'o definitely feels like luxury. But I'm just looking at him as a pod option. I think I've mentioned a few times, that Panthers run just looks amazing, which is why everyone's bringing in Nathan Cleary and Dane Laurie. And I'm just hoping Big Bad Brian, can continue that hot form. Of try-scoring abilities had over the past few weeks.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to bring in Dane Laurie if I could make it work.
Brian Toto.
Unfortunately, this week.
He's still got Dane Laurie on the mind.
Oh, God.
I mean, you probably
could. I would love to bring in Brian Toto and Dane Laurie at the same time. You're going to crack another joke at my expense, Chip. So I was just going to say
you could. You could bring him in. You could afford it. You got all the trades.
That's true. I do. I might just have to wait though. Zach Lomax, Jono, is the other premium option. He's 800K now. They are playing the Panthers this week. He's got a BE of 148 after his low score against the Roosters. The Dragons do not have an easy run in. But Lomax has shown that he's relatively fixture proof. Even with that, though, I'm not sure I'd be wanting to bring him in for 800K with a break even 158 plan. 148 playing the Penrith Panthers this week.
No, I agree with everything you just said. I'd love to own him for the run home, but this is not the week to bring him in. And I think he's just a little bit too expensive. There's someone like Big Bad Brian who's a similar-ish price I'd rather. And there's also a few premium options who have fallen a little bit who I'd rather go to than Lomax just for their price, such as Valentine Holmes.
Yeah, the Dragons play the Panthers, then the Storm and Amy Park, followed by the Bulldogs. So very, very tough upcoming draw, and I think you can do a bit better than Zach Lomax just at the moment. But in saying that, it would not surprise me to see him come out and score well, just as he has done all season. Dom, Tubes, Ronaldo, Mortalo, he's only 495K. He's coming off that big ton. He finally got a bit of meat against the hapless Tigers a couple of weeks ago. I think he's a sensational option. He's highly owned. I think he's top sort of 45% owned in the top 1% and 5%. I'm very scared not to own. In saying that, he's not the worst to take on because he does have a poor score in him, but yeah, he. I just think the price is really, really bang on there for him.
Yeah, I think it's perfect time to bring him in. Cowboys, Souths, Titans, they're about to play. As we said before, Nico gone, Trindle, the dominant half on the left, looks ripe for the picking for Mortalo. I'm just going to lay him and hope that he just doesn't get the attacking stats for a few weeks. But I think he's definitely a very good option. -7 break even under 500K.
Jono, Valentine Holmes has, like, let's not beat a bear in the bush. For the price tag that most of us brought him in at, I think he's been reasonably pathetic for the last 2 months. He's down to 624K now. He played wing on the weekend, which was interesting to say the least. Obviously, Murray Taulagi was out. They're playing that Jackson Purdue at center. I'm a bit lost with Val. I don't feel like he's value to sell at 620K, given they've got like an okay run with a lot of home games to finish the year. But I can see why some people are tempted.
Tempted to sell.
Yeah.
I'm a non-owner, and I'm probably going to bring him in this week. Like, I just think 624K for Val is absolute value. I think that's outstanding. Like, he's still just, he goal kicks, he's got good base in him. He's been a little off, the Cowboys have been a little off, but at 624K, I really, really like him, and there's a big chance, high probability that I bring him in this week.
Tubes, he had that big ton against the Tigers. They do play the Tigers in 2 weeks. So that was really the final nail in the coffin for me holding him. I don't think you can sell anyone playing the Tigers in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Probably one question is, like, do you think on the wing he can be as it's not even a question. I think on the wing he can be as dominant as he score as well as he can at center is my basic question. Should that hold any concerns for owners or prospective buyers?
Surely better. Like, I'd rather him on the wing, probably. Like, I'm happy with him either. I think for him, it's a mindset. Like, something weird's been going on. Don't know what it is, but I think 624K on the wing or in center, goal kicking for the Cowboys is value. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat the Sharks this week, and then as you say, they got the Tigers the week after. I'd probably be surprised if he's not worth 700K in the next 3 weeks. It's just whether or not you want to get him this week or next.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be selling him, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think you've got to hold him just for that Tigers game, if nothing else. Jono, Hamiso Tabuai-Fidow, massive 124 on the weekend away at the Panthers. Don't think anyone quite saw that coming. Dolphins have got a really tough draw to come in now, but playing fullback, Hammer, he's just such a gun. He's really in that top echelon of fullbacks in the NRL now. Available at center wing, like, I'm not going to do it personally. I think there are better options in different positions as well, but I think I don't think he's a bad pod. I can see him being semi-popular this week for center wing purchases.
Yeah, and game, like you said, up against the Gold Coast Titans. So nice little run. They don't have any buys left for the run home, and they're probably going to be needing to win every game if they want to make the finals. They're sitting sixth at the moment, so they got a lot to play for. Means it's unlikely he'll rest. 640K and a break even of 11. So if you are going to do it, this is the week to do it. And yep. he's a fun guy to own, Hammer. Like when he's having those kind of games where he's just gliding across the field, he's a lot of fun. So I don't mind it. Like you said, the draw is a bit of a concern, but I'm actually going to have to think about him versus Val. I'm going to bring in one of them this week. Who would you do, Matt, if you could only have one of him or Val? If you didn't own both, who would you go?
Jeez, that's. I think if I was buying, I'd probably buy Hammer. But
that's
close.
The Cowboys do have the bye in 25, and then they've got the Dogs and the Storm to finish off the year, who are both pretty strong defensive teams. So, yeah, it's something to look at. I like him.
They got two out of the next three are quite good. They got Titans and Warriors at home. So like they're two very, very attractive fixtures that Hammer will certainly be in for a lot of points. Between that, they've got the Roosters, which is in Perth, I think, that game. So, like, whilst it's the Roosters have been a bit leaky from time to time this year. Their defensive record is not incredible. So, yeah, I don't mind the Hammer pod. Like I said, I don't think I can do it. But, yeah, it sounds like it could be up your alley in any case. Jono, just sticking with you for a minute, one guy who has job security improvements and he's a cheapie and a potential sort of enabler for teams looking to make a downgrade with a playable cheapie is Casey McLean from the Penrith Panthers. He's 204K on the bubble this week, negative 40-ish break even, I believe. His job security, as I mentioned, is right up now because of Paul Alamotti's broken arm. He should keep that center spot for at least the next month, I would have thought. Once Dylan Edwards comes back, they might put Laurie in the centers or Laurie on the wing and Taruva into the centers or something like that. But Casey McLean could make that spot his own. I haven't really watched much of him the last couple of weeks, but have you seen enough to suggest that he could be a purchase at center wing at that basement price?
I just think for those super coach players out there who love a warm body, a lot of bit of squad depth, I think he is the perfect play for that. 240K, you're getting him at enough price. He got 37 in base in his first game and he got 41 in base. And that's not even including base plus power. That's pure base. So that's really good stock to start his NRL career. We've spoken already a lot about the Panthers' draw coming up. And, I mean, Matt, even if he was to play the next 4 weeks and drop out, there's still a big chance he plays the last round against the Titans when they're resting everyone too and could put on a massive score there. So for those people who love their squad depth, I think he is the perfect option in that scenario. And he's probably going to come in and outscore and out-average a lot of these guns for the run home.
Yeah, I don't mind it, Jono. I haven't had a play with it yet, but I might look at him as a Laurie alternate. I can't really not buy Laurie now after my rant earlier, but
you can.
Okay, I might just have a look at it if it means that I can. If it means my downgrades change, I can. Yeah, it might. It might work, but yeah, I don't mind the shout.
That's a lot of. I actually like it. Looking at it, like as a potential playable, might not even be enough because he might just hold the spot as well.
No, you might just be getting a premium level player at 204K.
So, like, say for you, Matt, like Asako with his big, you know, mummy wrapping he's got on his left arm at the moment, and he just hasn't been looking as good. And with Hammerback, it seems that him and your boy Bostock have just got such an amazing combination. They're not even going right. You could downgrade Asako down to Casey and you bank in 390K. Like that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. I'm warming to it, Jono. Well done. Ooh. I'm sure you just, that's exceptional research. Let's move down to fullback now. Obviously, one man on everyone's lips is Tommy Trbojevic. There is a bit of a conundrum with Tom Trbojevic is in the fact that he's now 813K. And he's playing the Roosters this week into a bye. So usually when you spend 813K, that's not what you're signing up for. Potentially the bigger conundrum, though, is after that bye, with a minus 38 break-even this week, he's going to be over $900,000 after the bye for the run home. I can throw to both of you here because neither of you are Tommy Turbo owners, what are you going to do with Tommy Trbojevic, starting with you, Jono?
So it feels a little bit nasty, Matt. I'm
trying to just speak to the people who don't own Tommy Turbo out there.
No, look, I just can't get him. You had your little, I noted your little stab at the Fletcher Sharp owners earlier in the pod. I am still holding Big Fletch, and it's going to be pretty hard to get from 360K for Fletch up to Tommy at 830. So I'm just going to unfortunately have to lay Tommy at this point. And I'm going to look at Kalen Ponga as an alternate and a little bit cheaper instead. I'm just going to have to back in the hamstrings don't hold up for the back end of the year. Sorry, Tommy.
Tubes, what's the case to bring in Turbo this week? Or I presume you're in the Jono camp, probably of not buying.
I think so. I like assuming that you already own Tedesco, and your I suppose it just depends on what your options are that you're looking at doing. Like I think Tedesco and Turbo are the two clear cut best fullbacks for the run home based on their draws and obviously their pedigree. If I was choosing between the two, I'd rather have Tedesco and lay Turbo. But I'm just going to be running the gauntlet and laying both of them. So, that's probably not going to be good. I think he's too difficult. You have to get him this week. But I think you've missed the boat, to be honest. I think you pick one. I think you pick Ponga or you pick one of the other fullback options and just try and get them beat at this point in time.
Tubes, you, as I mentioned at the top of the pod, you brought in Reece Walsh last week, which you've timed that quite nicely. Is he an option? He's quite expensive relative, you know, on a relative basis.
He's the same price as Turbo.
That's what I mean. Like you're not, but you like you can't really expect Walsh to outscore Turbo at the moment.
I mean, I do. That's why I brought in Walsh over Turbo. but then Turbo got 170. But I still do expect him to outscore him on the
right. Okay. Well, what about, but from now, if you're buying this week at the same price?
I wouldn't buy either at that price. 800K is a lot. I would honestly wait a week and get Ponga. Like, I think for the different prices and values that you can get, I think if you don't own Teddy, Turbo, or Walsh, none of them, this isn't the week to bring in any of them. You wait for Ponga. Or you wait until after the buys for Teddy and or Walsh at that point. Like, I just think they're way too expensive. If you've got the trades, maybe you can wait for the back end of the year and do a bit of fullback roulette. But I just think it's too late to try and get those two and hold them in, unless you've got a really obvious option to get Turbo this week. But I just don't know what fullback you have at the moment that you have that easy option.
Especially when you've probably got to buy Cleary as well.
Yeah.
So I agree. Like, I mean, it's obviously unfortunate if you didn't jump on Turbo on an overrun's got a bit of that FOMO now, but I just don't, I'm with you. I think you have to wait for Ponga or just wait and see what happens. It's just one of those things.
I think everyone has to remember that all of these fullbacks, including Teddy, and Turbo and Walsh and Drinky and Latrell and Edwards, they all average within sort of 10 points of each other throughout the whole season. So, like, I know that I'm not saying that I wouldn't love to have Teddy and Turbo, but I think if you don't own those two now, one of the other five options are still pretty good options and are probably more value at this point in time. That's what I'm convincing myself of anyway.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And look, the top two averaging centers of the year are Dylan Edwards and Latrell Mitchell, both of whom will be back in 1 month's time. They're both 900K, so they're also difficult to bring in. But there are options. You do have options. Like it's fullbacks can go off. Like the quality of players, Kalen Ponga is going to be. Like, he's so cheap. He's 686K. He's got to buy. Like you're just gonna need so much more flexibility with the rest of your squad as well.
And his run is unbelievable. And he got back to goal kicking on the weekend. I think Hastings missed the first kick, and then Ponga was kicking after that. And they play like Tigers, Sharks, Souths, Titans, Dolphins on their run home. So, like, I think you have to back at this point for 300K less that, or 200K less right now, that Pong is going to beat Turbo, given they both have a bye over the next 2 weeks.
The one thing I will say about Ponga, the only thing, he's obviously a great option, but the Knights are really crap at the moment for some reason. Like, they got that injured, Best getting injured on the weekend hurt. Tubes, you let me know about that. I actually missed that. But, like, that's a really killer blow when you get an outside back injury. But, yeah, the draw is nice. It's hard to see Ponga not scoring well on the run home.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish off the pod tonight, boys, with our pod of the week. And I'm going to start tonight, and there's obviously only one place I can start, and that's Dane Laurie from the Penrith Panthers. Speaking of high-scoring, averaging fullbacks for the run home, I just think, as I outlaid in my case, I think he's a very sneaky chance to be the top scorer in 5-8 over the next month. And, yeah, I think he's going to score really well. Jono, who is your pod of the week?
Look, my part of the week technically is Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, but he was my third choice. I wanted Casey McLean. I was told he's not a pod, he's a cheapie, you can't have him. I then wanted Hammer, who Matt said, no, you can't have him part of the week. We need to discuss him under the strategy of players. So I'm just going to go with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and I'm not passionate about it.
I like all three of your pods, Jono. Roger's an interesting one. Just, well, where are they going to pick him? Surely he gets picked at fullback. CNK's back in 2 weeks, maybe. He's a bit of a volatile one, but I don't mind it as a sneaky pod. Tubes, who is your pod of the week for round 21?
I've gone with my Panthers pod, Big Bad Brian, and I'm looking to bring him in as well. So hopefully he can score a hat trick against the Dragons this weekend and make it all worthwhile.
Become even more unattainable. For everyone out there, everyone else out there.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Good luck. It's been a long pod, but a good one. I think we've got I think we've steadied the ship, got the pod back on track after a tough couple of weeks. And I'm really looking forward to the run home. So thanks for joining us, Jono.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Thanks, Tubes. Good luck this week.
You too. You beauty.